morning. My name is Mary and I will be doing the Bible reading. It's from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12 from the New Living Translation. So, Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favour with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. May the Spirit of truth give us understanding of God's word.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you again and join together as we look into his word. Back to the book of Galatians. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The Son sets you free, so you will be free indeed." When you go to the Philippines on Holy Week, you will find in the streets of the Philippines people hurting themselves, doing penance, a voluntary self-punishment inflicted. It's an outward expression of repentance for having done wrong. It's a tradition in the Philippines, and flogging themselves until they bleed. And after 3 p.m., 4 p.m. in the afternoon, they go to the river and take a bath and thought that their sins already gone and they were forgiven. I'm thinking, how can I explain this freedom from the law and how we are supposed to be free? A guy named Nestor Dedel, that is his wife Ligaya Dedel, when he was young, he experienced that kind of self-harming or flogging himself, asking God to forgiveness of his sins. He said in his story that he always drank and his life is in turmoil. But one day, someone gave him a New Testament and he read the New Testament in just 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, he came to know the Lord. And after 2 years, I think, he went to a Bible college. He's one of the earliest full-time worker or missionary in the Christian Brethren in the Philippines. I don't know how many people came to know the Lord. He's not a teacher, but he is an evangelist. He preached the gospel clearly, and he always straight to the point, powerfully declaring the gospel of Christ and thinking about the freedom. Christ said, "It is finished." He experienced that self-plugging, walking on the street, hitting himself like that until it bleeds. Christ said, "It is finished." And those people said, "It is not. It is not." Christ said, "It's done. I gave myself to save you, to forgive all your sins." And these people said, "It's not. It's not finished. It's not finished. I have to do something." But Christ said, "It is finished." Is he going back to the streets and plug himself again? He already tasted and see the goodness of God. Is he going back to harm himself and find that forgiveness is on the streets harming themselves, or he will continue to put his trust in the greatest work of salvation that God has prepared for us? And many of us think that we still have to do something to earn our salvation, and that Galatians' issue is something like that. There are people in the book of Galatians, in the church of Galatia, who actually, they said, "This matter arose, some false believers have infiltrated or run to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves." And it's a good thing that Jesus also understands that kind of situation, because he said in Matthew 23:4, "They tie up heavy cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." Jesus in Luke 11:46, "And you are expert in the law. Woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." There are certain people in Acts 15:1 came down to Judea, from Judea to Antioch, teaching the believers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." It's a struggle for every person during that time who thinks that to please God is to obey the law. It's a struggle because every day you think, "I need to please God today, and I have to obey the law. I have to honor my parents. I have to honor God. I have to go to the church. I have to give my tithes. I have to do everything to please God." And at the end of the day, he knows that he fails. And that's an everyday struggle of someone who's always thinking, "I want to please God," and all his efforts is actually missing the point, because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short to the glory of God." Jesus knows this. Not only the law actually being a burden, but even the people, the religious leaders, who are actually adding heavy loads to the already burdened people, putting more loads upon them, judging them, "You're not doing it right, you're still wrong." I have a friend of missionaries, older than me. We called him in the church policeman. You know why? When you go to the church on Wednesday of prayer meeting and you're wearing shorts, he said, "Why are you wearing shorts? You're going to meet God and you're wearing shorts. You have to wear pants, properly clothes." And everyone in the young people called him, "Here's the police, here's the police." He is one of the pastors in the church. And we call them, they call them police. And that is a simple illustration wherein there's already a burden in the people, and then the religious leaders who put more burden in us. And then we end up stressed. We end up so tired in living our Christian life because we thought we are already heavy laden by those things that the leaders, the religious leaders, or the law has given us. Freedom from the yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He died to free us not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin and from the power of the law to condemn us in our own inability to obey the law. Freedom from a burdensome legalistic existence as slaves to the law. Freedom. Freedom to the dreadful struggle to keep the law with a view of winning the favor of God. Jesus said, "It is finished. It is done." And we should be thankful that Christ has finished the great plan of salvation for us. Paul said to the Galatians, "If you try to make yourselves right with God by circumcision or by keeping the law or by becoming a Jew, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. What Christ has done will become nothing." Galatians 2:21, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for its righteousness could be gained through the law. Christ died for nothing." Romans 3:25, "For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past." God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin, made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. Someone says, "To obtain salvation," what you're saying is, for us to obtain salvation by faith is a very simple thing to do. It's very easy. Because someone is going to tell you, just repent, trust what Christ has done, and you will be saved. Oh, that's easy. Just a prayer of acceptance. It's easy. Why is it become so easy? Sometimes they said it's good to be true because it's very simple. But for us to make it easy, I'm going to read Isaiah 53. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Why is it easy? Why God make it very simple for us to obtain this eternal life by just trusting in him? Because Jesus took the hardest part, taking all the punishment, taking all the sacrifices in his body, so that it will be very easy for us to come before him and ask for forgiveness and accepted him as our Lord and our Savior. For us, it's easy. But for Christ, it's not easy for him. It's not easy for him. And yet many people says, it's not yet finished. I have to do something to obtain this eternal life. If you try to make yourselves right with God and by circumcision and keeping the law, we are obligated to obey the whole law. For all who rely on the works of the law are under curse, and it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. James 2:10, "If you obeyed the law and miss one bit, then you already sinned against God. Did it complete it or did it? You already break the whole thing, the whole law. Because for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." One preacher preaching the gospel, and he said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, no one seeks God. And then he asked this question. He said, is there anyone in this room who have not sinned against God? And one guy raised his hand. I have not sinned. And the pastor approached him and shake his hand and said, I am very honored and pleased to meet the guy who haven't sinned since his birth. I'm very pleased to meet you. And then he suddenly felt embarrassed by that conversation in front of the people. And he said, I haven't sinned since birth, but sometimes I made mistake. Because even we think that we haven't sinned, we make mistake, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we cannot obey the law. No one can obey the law. God knows that. That's why the law becomes a revealer of our sin. The law reminds us how sinful we are, and when we look on Christ, reminds us of the love of God to us. It always reminds us how sinful we are, and we go back to Christ, who died on the cross, who gave his life for us, who took all our sins, so that we can put our trust in him. And then another one that Paul said to the Galatians, you have been cut off from Christ, you have fallen away from grace. If you make yourselves right with God by circumcision, keeping the law, then you have fallen away from grace. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, which is everyone, we all know this verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Do you need to explain it? It's very clear that our salvation is by faith. It is a gift of God. It is by grace. And I think the best person to explain what grace is all about, what faith is all about, is the author of Galatians, Paul himself. Why? Because Paul is the one who actually circumcised, and then who is, maybe we can say, holier than other guy, and then he considered himself the worst sinner. It's a long passage, but I would like to read this, Philippians 2. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must circumcise to be saved. The mutilators is the circumcision society in the people who said you need to be circumcised for you to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ has done for us. We rely on what Christ done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. No confidence in the flesh, no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, but he said, I considered it rubbish. I was circumcised when I was 8 years old, pure-blooded citizen of Israel, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Really Hebrew, if there ever was one, member of the Pharisees, a very religious person. He was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, but he called them all rubbish. He said to Timothy, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord has poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that in Christ Jesus. Paul is the best person who can explain what faith and grace is all about. Because he was a religious person. He came to know the Lord. He persecuted the church. He surrendered his life to the Lord, and he served the church. And he said, his mercy and his grace poured out abundantly. When we look on Paul's life, and when you look on your life, truly, we live by grace. We don't deserve this life that we are enjoying at the moment. We don't deserve this life. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve our forgiveness of Christ. But because of what Christ has done, his great love for us, look at what God, Christ, did to Paul. It's a very interesting to know the truth that for in Christ neither circumcision nor circumcision has any value. The only things that count is faith expressing itself through love. Titus said, but when the kindness of love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of Christ's things he had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Again, we read Ephesians 2:8 again. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. It is through Christ. We were saved by faith. We were saved by faith in Christ alone. I like the way Paul presented Ephesians 2:8-9, and I add the number 10, the verse 10. And it says, for by faith you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not by your works. And then verse 10, he said, you are created to do good works. Salvation first before good works. It is an expression expressing itself through faith, expressing itself through love. So that we're not going to boast. We're going to be proud when God asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm in hands and feet every Wednesday. I'm helping people every day. I'm singing. I'm part of the music team. Oh, my dad is a pastor. My mom is a Bible study leader. My uncle, my auntie, my grandpa, my granddad. My great-granddad, my great-grandma, they're all believers. Then, yes, I can get into heaven because I'm proud of my ancestry. I'm proud of my origin. But it is not. It is by faith. It's not by good works, so that we're not going to boast of what we have done. It is of what Christ has done. I've spoken to some Filipino families, elderly Filipino, in the shopping center, those who already here for many, many years. And then they're proud sharing their story. They work hard. And they after established, they already have the good retirements. There's only one missing in their stories that I always encounter. They always miss the point that from the beginning, God is already there helping them. They always, many of them always look on the hard work that they experience to come here in Australia to have this new life and forgot that during the time God exists, providing their needs, helping them. And I said to one guy, maybe during the time, all are welcome here in Australia. Everyone is welcome to come. That compared to now, that it's really hard to come in Australia. But during those times when they came, everyone is welcoming. Come on, because they need more people in here. But now it's not. And they forgot that God is always there from the beginning of their journey here. And we should not be proud of what we have done. We should be proud what Christ has done in our lives. The Son sets us free, and you will be free indeed. I like to look on to saved by faith. Everyone believes that they have faith. Christian Philippines is one of the only Christian nation in the Philippines, in Southeast Asia. Everyone have faith. All of us, we can declare that we have faith in God. In one of our Bible studies, we ask these questions, two questions actually. One is, the first question is, do you have faith in God? One guy will answer, and your contact will say, who don't have the personal relationship with Christ, he will say, yes, I have faith in God. Then I'm going to ask, for example, Arlo, one of the members in the church, do you have faith in God? And he will say, yes, I have faith in God. The second question is, if you're going to die today, do you know where you're going? The first person will say, I'm not sure. But we have faith in God. I'm going to ask the second question to our Lord, one of the church members, and they will say, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. And he said, wait a minute. Two similar questions. The first question, you have the same answer. But why the second question? You have different answer. Both have the same faith. The first one have faith. The second one has faith. The second question, the first one, don't know that he's going to go to heaven. The second one have faith, but knows that he's going to heaven. What is the problem on that? The problem is faith. Because faith is something that we should think of. Do I really have faith in Christ? Faith is not like believing that God exists, that Christ died at the cross and he rose again from the dead. Faith is trusting that what Christ has done is sufficient and enough to forgive us all our sins and give us eternal life. We believe that Christ exists, that he died at the cross, but we trust, we hold on to his promise that if you trust in me, I'm going to give you eternal life. If you come to me, your sins are forgiven. Trust is something. Faith is trust. Trusting what Christ has done. And Paul is telling to the Galatians that what Christ has done is enough. You trust him. Don't trust those people who's telling that you need to go back to become a Jew, to be converted, to become a Jew, to be circumcised, and go back to the law, when Christ's sacrifice is enough for us to obtain our salvation. The question that I'd like to ask today, this morning, is, do we really have put our trust in what Christ has done? Or we just believe that he is, that he exists, but there is no relationship with him? We know Christ in history, but we don't know him in experience. And many times we took Christ like a Panadol. When you have a headache, take it, and it's gone. When you need an ambulance, call the ambulance, and that's it. And we have this saying in the Philippines, when you have lots of sickness, then God is near. You call him. And when you're well, you don't call him anymore. Because when we are on the lowest part in the life, then we come before him. But Christ's love always bestowed upon us, always. Christ sacrificed his life for us. to gain freedom from sin, freedom from the penalty of sin, freedom from death, freedom from the struggles every day in life to please God, because it's, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's only by faith. And for us to continue to experience this freedom, Paul said to the Galatians, stand firm. 2 Timothy 3:14 to 15, it says, but as for you, continue to what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which we are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Stand firm. Stand firm. Because Christ has given his life for us. Stand firm on the truth that we believe in. And Paul said to the Galatians, you're actually running well. Run the race well. You run the race well. You're running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? I took the liberty of taking Hebrews 12. Run the race. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and fixing our eyes to the one who gave his life for us, the one who died at the cross, who took all our sins upon his shoulder, who rose up from the dead, and who ascended into heaven. Let us fix our eyes on him, and then express your faith in love. We live by faith, not by works, not by the books of the law. We always motivated now, not by law, but by love. Express our faith through love. Matthew 22:37-40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and second, it's like this, love your neighbor as yourselves, and the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The freedom that we gain after receiving this great salvation is the freedom to serve God motivated by love. I go to church because I love Christ. I serve the Lord because, not because no one is going to do it, but because I love Christ who loves me. I come to church with full of energy because I love Christ, because he first loved me. I share the gospel because I love Christ, because he loves me. I sing because, not because no one is going to sing, but because I love to sing for Christ. I pray because I want to talk to the lover of my soul, because I love him and he loves me. Of course, I have to communicate every now and then because I love him and he loves me. We are all motivated now by love, not by law. Because when we obtain this great salvation, this eternal life, this relationship that we have in Christ, we have this freedom. Freedom to love Christ, to love others, and experience the greatest love of all. It comes from Christ. This is Christian life. This is the journey of our faith. A life filled with love, not binded by law, not struggling, but enjoying because there is freedom that God has given us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given us, reminding us the freedom that we gained through Christ who died at the cross for us. Thank you, you set us free. That our salvation is not by obeying your commandments, but by putting our trust in Christ, your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. For our communion, I would like to encourage you to think about Paul again when he said, I'm the worst sinner. And he acknowledged the grace that is poured out abundantly to him. I'd like to encourage everyone to think about your life before you came to know the Lord. What is your life at the moment? And acknowledge what Christ is doing in your life. Paul's life is, when he acknowledges his worst sinner, and yet he knows how he is religious, obeying the law of God, but he acknowledged that it is he's living by grace.